Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul Hill, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to CEO James Hickman and CFO Judy Happer of Cornerstone FX, a leading international payments and Forex platform. So welcome, guys.
Hi, Paul.
Well, massive congrats on today's very strong FY23 results, with sales doubling to £9.6 million. But before we sort of dig into the detail there, James, I don't suppose you could quickly remind investors of what the company does. Perhaps illustrate it with an example, and also what the sort of key growth drivers are across the industry.
Absolutely. So we are now actually branded Finsetta. Just to point that out to listeners. So the PLC remains currently at Cornerstone FS PLC, but the intention is then to change that over to the new brand Finsetta. But to all intents and purposes, we are trading as Finsetta currently, with the regulated entity being Finsetta Payment Solutions. So what does Finsetta do? We are a payments and foreign exchange company focusing on both businesses and individuals, so high net worth individuals. And ultimately, as part of our strategy, we are growing out effectively an introducer base, an introducer network that introduces both businesses and individuals to us to transact their foreign exchange and make their payments. Where we differ against some of our competitors, we have a broad mix of client base. And as I mentioned, individuals as well as businesses, most payment services businesses and companies within our sector have very much focused on business-to-business pipeline. We've actually done slightly differently and actually see a tremendous value in servicing individuals as well. So we cater for both. The history of the business has been really around a platform-based foreign exchange business. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to leverage that spend in technology to really drive revenue. And particularly, as you've seen in the 2023 results, that's really coming to the fore now, where we've really focused on expanding out our introducer network, growing our revenue, and really focusing on sales.
Right. Okay. And if I was a sort of like, I don't know, a local Brummy business wanting to buy another metal basher, say in Germany, how would I come to, could I come to effectively Finsetta to run that acquisition? Not to run the acquisition, but to do the payments. I was buying a 10 million euro type business out in Germany.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So we're a relatively high touch business, high service business. And one of the benefits of coming to Finsetta is as a Brummy business, you probably, you know, or most businesses are not particularly au fait with currency exchange and international payments. And particularly around hedging their requirements, making sure that the payments are there on time to complete for contract completions. We will cover all that for them and really guide the company on the best way of doing it, and making sure that most companies ultimately want to take no risk at all. They're not into currency speculation and therefore really want it to be a seamless transaction without any risk associated with that transaction or transactions. So that's exactly what we do. We make sure that the company is exposed to the least risk possible, and the transactions, both the FX transaction and the payments, are delivered seamlessly.
And if I had the part of that same business, if I was sort of like buying some, I don't know, automotive parts from China and using that and to assemble them into the UK, would you do those ongoing transactions as well in different currencies?
Yeah, absolutely. So within our sort of client mix, we have businesses, as I say, that do ongoing transactions, and they may be weekly, monthly, supplier payments, etc., to individuals who make payments less frequently, but are buying properties, assets, et cetera, around the world. And they may only be transacting perhaps once a year, something like that. So we cover a broad range. And for each client and each transaction, we do offer that personalized service. So right. We're not just platform-based. We're very much, we're servicing the client and serving the customer how they want to be served.
And what's a sort of broad split between spot transactions and forward transactions? Just because that obviously impacts whether the speed of it and the exposure in terms of collateral and balance sheet.
Yeah, absolutely. So the majority of our transactions, or the vast majority, are spot transactions currently. There is an opportunity to do more forward transactions as we take on larger and larger businesses. The strategy very much has moved from where we were 3 years ago, 2 years ago, taking on sort of very small SME type businesses, almost startups, into the more medium scale type businesses. And we should see an uplift in the number of forward transactions, although not significantly. We will see an uplift in the number of forward transactions we do over the coming years.
Brilliant. Okay, well, Judy, can you take us through the financial highlights? I mean, this is obviously a terrific top line performance, but equally, when you look at it on a sequential basis, H1 to H2, you see a big step up in the margins, both on the, not only the gross margin, but also more sort of like illustrated in the EBITDA margins.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Yeah, really are delighted to finally put in print, I guess, our 2023 results, which people may have heard me say before, 2023 was a transformational year for us with regards to our financials. And you can really see it borne out just in a couple of metrics. You'll see adjusted EBITDA, our maiden year of profitability, 1.7 million delivered in 2023 compared to a 0.9 million loss in 2022. Another metric I'll just quickly draw out is cash flow. So cash from operations, 2 million in 2023 versus a 1 million outflow in 2022. And as you rightly say, really driven by our doubling of revenue and a margin expansion. I guess talking to gross profit first, so you rightly will have seen that H2 was 64%. That kind of a number of factors at play there. One, the kind of continuous managing out of our white label business and a restructure of our commission arrangements with our largest revenue generator. I think there is a little bit more to go indeed for H1. You may see that edge up by a percentage point, but we'll see that probably balance out for 2024 back around the 64% mark. Just as we bring on more of the introducer network, which we've absolutely, you know, positioned ourselves as growth through that network and sharing our payaways with them. I think, you know, in terms of profitability, as you'll probably appreciate, and I know James has certainly talked to you about before, we've got a wealth of kind of growth opportunities open to us. And so we're kind of, you know, balancing those, obviously very keen to continue to show improved profitability to the market. So I'd say targeted investment, but may indeed kind of, you know, typically looking at 4 to 6 months before payback, particularly where we're looking at kind of adding sales heads, which will certainly be the case as we look at geographic expansion. So again, you may see a little bit of a degradation in terms of margin overall, but in terms of absolute number for 2024, again, we'll look to see growth in that absolute number.
And just in terms of the sort of steady state operational gearing in terms of the EBITDA drop through, I mean, it seemed as though last year you had your adjusted operating costs going up by sort of mid-teens, but your revenue doubled. And if you look at it on a steady state rather than the incremental investment you're doing for future growth, just can you just talk through how investors should sort of model that? Because
I think that's a very good point, Paul. Sorry to interrupt, yeah. but you're quite right. I think we could easily consider, you know, mid 30s already for a steady state EBITDA margin, kind of minus the investment factors, which are obviously degrading that margin overall. But absolutely, we very much are delighted really with the kind of the conversion we're getting from our steady state business, as you call it. And of course, we have very, very good visibility over our cost base. You know, we've washed through that period of kind of you know, the cost being a bit of a, I wouldn't say an unknown, but not having that very tight control, spending ahead of the revenue being there. You know, one of the things that James brought in is that really, really, really focused kind of payback, immediate payback, revenue opportunity focused investment. And that's starting to show in the numbers for sure.
And the cash generation, you've now sort of got into a net cash positive position. How should investors sort of think about that? Because obviously you've got the loan note, which I believe is it non-convertible?
That's correct, Paul. Yeah, there's two loan notes. One will be due for payment this year, $200K. In August, that was related to one of our acquisitions in 2022. And the bigger one, 2 million, that's due in August 2026. As you rightly say, both non-convertible. So really, really key now that we've returned to that net cash position, 2.3 million of cash in the as we close the year. And really, really strong cash generation, as you've seen, the conversion from adjusted EBITDA to operating cash over 100%. And that's something we should very much expect to continue. I will just say with regards to CapEx, you know, we've talked about some of the headcount investment that we have to, you know, manage tightly. CapEx is one area this year where we will see a slight increase in our spend. Again, that's, you know, it's a nice position to be in because we're balancing the kind of the geographic expansion, and we're going to have to effectively bring in some external support as we're balancing a number of new banking partners to try and onboard with that expansion, and we run things pretty lean internally. So as I say, that's one area where we will see a slight increase in terms of cash outflow in CapEx this year.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, that's an excellent segue to you, James, in terms of that international expansion. Could you just say a few words? So obviously, you've had big congrats on the new regulatory license out in Canada, but you've also got other international markets, I think, that you're sort of eyeing up as well. And could you just talk through which areas of expansion, also the sort of time frames to monetize that Canadian accent the license?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of our key strategies is expanding out our geographic footprint and really creating value as a business, not only just having that sort of office-based presence in country, but one of the key things is to have regulatory approval and also local banking. That's critical. And that really creates the value, which ultimately means we have more banking relationships around the world, meaning that we can facilitate more payment methods, more clients, etc. Specifically in Canada, we are looking to start ultimately generating some revenue in Q3 this year. We're at the moment recruiting for a head of country, and under that, and with a go-to-market strategy aligned to the UK operations, there will be a rollout, and it'll be very revenue focused. So that means ultimately salespeople. A lot of the operational burden is taken care of in the UK, so we're not doubling cost. So it's very much a revenue focused model initially. Ultimately, there will be compliance and some operational, but certainly for the next 12 to 18 months, it's very much revenue focused.
Mm. And which other jurisdictions are you looking at? I did see in the sort of slide that UAE and also Hong Kong.
Yeah, absolutely. So UAE definitely in terms of imminence. We've actually got people on the ground there already. It will mean that we can do a lot more business and channel a lot more business via the UAE office once a license comes through there. We're also looking at Hong Kong, and we're business planning that at the moment. There will be other jurisdictions, and as I say, the critical thing is the regulatory and the banking piece here. But we're very mindful. We're still a small business. We haven't got an unlimited budget to go out and spend. And it'll be very much we will do things in a steady manner, and really prove the model and continue on that way. So potential investors don't need to worry that we're just going to start doing everything everywhere. It's a very much sort of gradual process, but certainly from a strategic point of view, it's certainly in my mind, it's a very good way of creating value within the business, as well as increasing our revenue potential.
And why did you choose those three markets, say, compared to, I don't know, Europe, for instance?
Excellent question. We've chosen those on the basis of our growing introducer network. So, as I mentioned, we're pretty much totally reliant. We do no sort of above the line marketing, as it were. Most of our customers come through our growing introducer network. Most of our introducers are global. And I'm talking lawyers, accountants, property agents, wealth managers, etc. They tend to be global in nature and have offices globally. We are reacting to their requirements and being able to service more of their own customers by these locations. So Canada, Dubai, and Hong Kong are very specific. In a number of our introducers have offices and people within those jurisdictions, and which means that we could get more business.
And why did you choose the Finsetter brand compared to obviously the Cornerstone? With that, is it better for the introducers? Is it more of a
not specifically? So Cornerstone is a fairly ubiquitous brand, and you'll see it pretty much all around the world in various sectors, different industries. Just in the UK alone, there's an estate agent, there's a lending company, there's a IFA, there's literally hundreds of them. Ultimately, we felt the timing was right now to move away from that Cornerstone brand to something we could own from a domain point of view, an IP point of view. It's very difficult to find a .com domain specifically. Yes. You can think of 100 business names and think they're fantastic. Yeah. When you come and put them in, it's like, oh, damn it, someone's taken that. This we felt actually as a brand reflected very nicely of what we're trying to do. So certainly from the financial services point of view. Ultimately we were able to secure all of the IP, trademark, domains, etc. around that around the Finsetta brand and really create it and make it our own. So it was a long selection process. You know, internally we had a lot of, you know, no one liked this, no one liked that, and we must have had a list of 100 that we went through. And this was a name and a brand that people got, actually that could work. And you know, you've got to do a lot of exploration, a lot of due diligence on each, make sure no one else is using it. And actually it turned out very well.
Good. And then just finally there, James, in terms of the new product development, obviously you've got the credit cards and the debit cards coming out with MasterCard, yep, and one of your providers and stuff. Can you just talk through what you're looking at? Because you've got solutions as well, haven't you? Finsetta solutions.
So the MasterCard deal gives us, really, it's just another payment rail, if you look at it just from the bare bones. Ultimately, particularly companies, have a requirement they'd like to pay bank to bank. Many, particularly digital companies, now want to pay by on the card rails, A, because it's instantaneous, and B, it's easy to reconcile. And a lot of, you know, digital advertising and stuff like that, they actually only accept cards. So, you know, when you're paying AWS, you know, for your server hosting and all the rest of it, it's a very efficient method of doing it. So a lot of companies actually value that particular payment method. So we're adding that really within our ecosystem, just as another payment method, rather than it being just, you know, a fancy card or anything else. On the solution side, that's very much as the name suggests, being able to provide solutions to our customers coming to us with payment challenges. And that's very much part of the strategy around increasing our payments network and the countries we can actually service, and the types of industries we can service as well. So that's again an ongoing expansion and a key part of our strategy.
And what about mass payments? Would that fall into the?
100%, absolutely. Okay. And that's something we're looking at the moment as well.
Good. Okay. Well, that's sort of like whet my appetite. Now, Judy, just in terms of the outlook for the rest of the year, can you just talk through a bit about year to date trading, how things have gone, and what you sort of, you know, look forward for the rest of the year? Obviously, early days.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, obviously, you know, you will see in our RNS and our presentation today, we're very happy with our year-to-date progress. In line with board expectations, so slightly ahead of market expectations. That's allowing us, I think, you know, the analysts following us to kind of up their range ever so slightly. I think, you know, because we have got no end of opportunities kind of that are in their nascent kind of stage, we have got to tread a little bit carefully with our guidance, and really that's reflected you know, throughout the organization. We're determined yet cautious, I would say. Okay. I think, you know, one thing you will potentially see, you know, you have seen in the past, H1 sequential revenue certainly lower than the H2 sequential revenue growth. That's something you'll definitely see in this year. I think there are a couple of factors affecting that. One, you will see from our 2023 numbers, we had incredible growth in the high net worth end of our business. So that growing to over 10 percentage points of our revenue in that space, that H2 is particularly strong. I'd say another factor potentially reflecting, impacting on sequential revenue growth is going to be that you will have heard that we effectively offboarded all of our white labels at the end of last year. So that's effectively a nil revenue base for H1 of this year. So just a couple of factors I wanted to highlight really as we look at H1. But all of those opportunities and great kind of progress that we've made, standing us in excellent stead for 2024 as a whole. And I think, as I say, reflected in the positive statement we've made about tracking in line with board expectations.
And then, James, just in terms of, say, if you're looking at one particular customer increasing the sort of share of wallet in that particular, what is the real sort of like the demand picture at the coalface in terms of, you know, corporates and individuals that you may regularly deal with? Because obviously you've got a new suite, you've got more products going in, you've got more jurisdictions going in. I mean, how are you seeing, is it demand pull rather than sort of supply push?
Very much so. Yes, I mean it's very we're very much customer demand focused. So we're not sort of inventing stuff because we think it's a good idea and realize there's not a market for it. We're developing based on our customer demand, and actually more importantly is our introducer demand. So when our introducers are saying, "Listen, we could introduce you a load of customers if you did this or had that." That's exactly what we'll do. And obviously we do it on a case-by-case basis on a commercial model. But ultimately, every decision we're making has a very clear commercial target with it rather than just inventing stuff.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good to hear. Just in terms of the next trading update, Judy, is it we going to have at the AGM sometime in June, or is it going to be a half year one?
I would expect to do an AGM results in terms of news flow, but then I would expect trading update probably at the end of H1, as you say, Paul.
Brilliant. Okay, well, really well done, guys. I think the numbers say everything. You've knocked the ball out of the park last year, so you've raised the bar very high. A big congrats, and look forward in touching base at the around about the time the AGM in June.
Brilliant. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.